What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The following episode has a little bit of an audio issue with it. It's still listenable, but just letting you know it's not our normal quality, but we will be back to normal next week. Thank you and have a good day. Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
And Sesame Eyebrow and Carta.
That's an amazing name.
Thank you.
You should legally change it to that.
Well, I already have.
Oh, shoot. You're being proactive here, huh? Instead of buying proactive, you're just being proactive.
Yeah, well, I don't have acne, so it's okay.
Yeah, so
but,
that's good. Yeah. So today on the show, we are talking about a show that ran on the WB network from January 17th of 1999 until June 11th of 2000.
Oh.
So. And the show is called Zoe, Duncan, Jack, and Jane. And it stars characters named Zoe, Duncan, Jack, and Jane.
Yeah. That's, I mean, the name of the show is the name of
the characters.
Of the show. Yeah, yeah.
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 Which happens.
Pretty creative.
Yeah. It was originally, it was initially going to be known as Zoe Bean.
Zoe what?
Zoe Bean. That's the name of the sort of main character.
That's her like last name or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Then it was and then later for its second season it was just retitled Zoe dot dot dot.
Well, okay.
Yeah. This was produced, executive produced by Michael Jacobs, who people know from My Two Dads and Boy Meets World fame.
All right.
Yeah. So created by Daniel Page and Sue Page. Sorry. Yes. So what were your thoughts on this pilot episode?
It was, you know, very, very 1999. It seemed like they were kind of trying to do a few different things. Like I kind of had a little bit of Freaks and Geeks in there, like during like the gym scene, but like they're also trying to do like a sort of, you know, like mainstream comedy about like, you know, the youth or whatever. I don't know. It seemed like it was kind of all over the place a little bit. I didn't really like it that much.
Yeah. It kind of, for me, felt like a Seinfeld or Friends for kids.
Yeah, because even, yeah, exactly, the apartment that they lived in kind of reminded me of the apartment Friends a little bit.
Yeah.
Not exactly, but it just kind of had that
same vibe. Same kind of vibe. I mean, it's around the same time and everything, too, and it's also produced by, because it was on the WB, I don't know if it was produced by... Oh, no, actually, it was produced by Touchstone Television. Never mind. I was wondering if it was produced by Warner Brothers, who produced Friends. So, but no, it's not. So, but, you know, you've got limited style at that time. So, you know, of course, everybody's going to mimic each other. So what goes down in this episode here?
It's basically like one of those like stories where there's like a miscommunication, or like the person doesn't really know what the other person says, so they're just trying to sort of piece together, you know, like what was said, so they can like, the end goal is like to have like a date with this guy. So basically, she's telling like one of her best friends on the phone about like an experience she had earlier in the day where she was waiting for the train and she was reading The Catcher in the Rye for a school project or whatever. And then this guy starts talking to her, you know, like kind of flirting with her, and he goes to Columbia University and she's in high school.
Yeah.
But I'm letting that sit there and for a moment, and and, you know, again, this is 99. I guess that was just sort of like acceptable at the time, or at least not as frowned upon, I guess, during these, like it wasn't what's the word, wasn't as much like conscientiousness about like,
yeah,
the implications of that kind of thing. It was just like, oh yeah, totally, you know. And then you know, which I'm not defending it, I'm just saying that was kind of like,
yeah, that's kind of what happened at that time.
Yeah, that was just like, oh yeah. And then and they're like kind of awkwardly like flirting with each other, like neither of them seem like they know how to flirt, you know. So that was kind of like not so much of a meet cute as it was more of a meet I don't have a pun for that, but like meet awkward,
like a misunderstanding, and then, cute.
He, you know, the train, you know, he's asking her like what train she's taken, and you know, she's taking like a different train than he is, and he invites her to something, but we don't know because the train comes by and you can't hear anything, and then, you know, he's talking really loud and she can't hear, which again kind of is a weird concept in of itself. Like, why not just wait until the train comes by, or like, hey, here's my phone number, you know, call me,
or like, hey, dude, I didn't hear what you said. Can you just please repeat it?
Yeah, or hey, you know, maybe I could ride the train with you for like a couple stops, and then I could get out, you know, whatever. Any million scenarios where she would actually hear what he said. But then again, we wouldn't have the episode if that wouldn't happen. So,
yeah.
So she's telling like one of her best friends about it. And then later on, you know, we meet like her other friends.
Yeah, so the friend, the girl that we're talking about here at the train station is Zoe Bean, played by Selma Blair. And then we have her best friend is Jane Cooper, who is a twin with Jack Cooper. Jane Cooper's played by Azura Sky, and Jack Cooper's played by a young Michael Rosenbaum. And then we have our fourth friend, our Duncan, is Duncan Milch, played by David Moscow. And he's kind of an obnoxious, or not obnoxious, but anxious kind of, you know, Woody Allen type of, you know, guy. You know what I mean?
He's like the geek of the group. Yeah. And Michael Rosenbaum's character is like the cool guy. And then like, which is weird because you said that they changed the name to Zoe, but in this episode, she was a minor character, and then
Zoe was the lead.
Oh, I thought you were saying she was talking to her friend, and you called her Zoe. Never mind.
No, no, her friend's Jane.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, all right. Zoe was played by Selma Blair, and then Jane is Azura Sky. So
okay, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. And then, like, they're eating at, like, you know, their diner-ish kind of place or whatever.
Yeah.
And Michael Rosenbaum's character, which I'm already forgetting his name,
Jack,
yeah, he's like, you know, Mr. Cool Guy or whatever, and some, you know, girl stops by and like touches his shoulder, and then and Duncan's all like, how does that always happen to you, bro? And he's like, oh, it's because I'm confident, blah blah blah, that whole, you know, thing or whatever. And then, you know, he shows off like this new pair of shoes that he thinks look cool, but to me they look stupid. And then they look like bowling shoes to me. But yeah, like,
when, 1999, who knows?
I guess, but like, to me they look dumb. And then so Duncan gets the idea, like, oh well, you know, I need shoes like that. Like that's the problem, is like having the wrong pair of shoes. I mean, I have heard theories that women tend to like look at how men dress. I don't even know how accurate that stuff is, but I have heard like about shoes, and to me that's pretty stupid, but whatever. And like that's academic, whatever. And then and so he wants like, you know, shoes like that. So then they kind of pair off and have their like little journey or whatever. And then Zoe and Jane kind of are sort of talking to each other about like, you know, what guys like or blah 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 or whatever. And then the dude, I forgot his name already, shows up, the college guy, shows up.
I don't know. Oh, is it Montana or something?
You don't remember.
It's, I got it right here somewhere. I had it written down in a note here. But anyways, keep going.
That guy shows up at the diner and then, you know, says the same thing, but then like there's a bunch of dishes breaking because one of the busboys or waiters or whatever.
Yeah, it is Montana Kennedy is his name.
What's that? Montana?
Montana Kennedy.
Okay, Montana.
That's Scott Kennedy. Foley, by the way, playing that role.
Yeah, he was in like a bunch of cool stuff. Yeah, like
this was fresh off of his recurring role on Dawson's Creek. And And then right after this, because he was intended to be her main love interest for the show, but he had gotten cast in the meantime on Felicity as a lead character on there, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, he was never seen after the pilot, I believe, so.
Which is probably good for the best, and then,
Yeah, you don't want our lead dating a college guy when she's... I don't know. I don't know if they established how old she was in this. So it's
well, no, I'm just saying, like, she could have even been a senior in high school, but still, it's like, come on, dude. Like, you know, like, you know, you're in college. Like, find, you know, a college.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever. And then, be that as it may. And then, and, you know, because the whole thing was, like, he said something about Chinese. So, like, you know, she was wondering if he invited her to, like, a Chinese restaurant or something like that, or for dinner, and that was kind of the... You know, the thing. We find out, though, that he's got a sister who goes to high school with them, and she's really good at dodgeball. You know, we get this whole thing where, you know, the actress who plays the character, like, completely overacts. But, you know, she's a good actress, but it was just, like, totally overacting. And she's in a wheelchair, so then we got the whole, like, aha, you get it? She's in a wheelchair, but she's good at dodgeball. Isn't that funny? Isn't it funny that someone who's disabled can do things? Funny, right? You know, and then like, you know, she's like, you know, really like...
Yeah, and that was Sarah Rue, by the way, who we saw as an adult in American Pie Girls Rules.
Really? Yeah, okay, yeah. That's right. Yeah, and she was also in Can't Hardly Wait. And, yeah,
and she had her own TV show for a while after this... that starred Andy Dick as well. It was Less Than Perfect. That's what it was called.
Okay. So, you know, she overacts, and then the teacher's gonna stop her from like just totally like polarizing like a student who's like standing on like the windowsill. And then she says, "Oh, you're only making me do this because I'm handicapped," and she has to like scream it, like you know, because I'm not trying to cast aspersions or anything like that. This is not me saying it. This is what the cultural meme was at the time, where whenever there was like a quote fat or overweight female person, they always had to like act over the top and scream and shit because they had to be a clown essentially. Because God forbid you be fat and be confident, or at least be confident in a way that's likable to people. You have to be stupid or like mean and weird, or you know.
And to be fair, though, with it as well, Sarah Rue, that's kind of just her shtick.
Okay.
Even after she lost a lot of weight, she was basically she's still kind of like that, and especially when she did her own show, Less Than Perfect, she was this over the top sort of like cheery. She was not mean like she is in this, but she was over the top and cheery and stuff. So
gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Well, basically, Zoe wants to, like, pretend to be friends with her so that she can, you know, get to her brother. And then we missed the part here. So like her Zoe's mom is dating this pilot named Bob, I think, or Tom, I don't remember.
Yeah, and then Bob. Yeah.
And he has like a really thick unibrow. So that's like becomes like a running joke, like, you know, like they keep staring at it or whatever, and like the mom doesn't really seem like she notices it or cares or whatever. And he's a pilot.
Yeah.
And then but he gives her, and he's pretty much like treats her like a little kid. Like he gives her like the pilot wings or whatever. And her mom's like, take the wings, Zoe, you know, whatever. So then the dude's sister, I forgot his name, her name already. I forgot all the characters' names basically. And then she's like really into like airplanes and pilots and stuff like that. So she sees like the wings are like some like really like specific.
Her name like, was Breenie.
Sorry, Breenie.
Yeah, there we go.
Like, the wings are, like, some specific, like, old, like, collector's edition type thing or whatever. So then, you know, Zoe gives it to her as sort of, like, a, you know, like, way of her, like, getting in, I guess, as being a friend. And then Breenie's like, oh, like, what kind of person are you? Whatever, like, pretty stupid or whatever. Like, she can't even, like, accept the gift without, like, insulting someone. And then so, like... She goes over to her house and is playing some, like, you know, airplane video game, and they're both wearing, like, old, like, Amelia Earhart type of, like, helmets or whatever. Okay. And then, like, you know, she hears, like, Brittany's brother and his friends, like, walking down the hall because they have a band, and Brittany's like, like, if I hear champagne... Supernova one more time, I'm gonna wheel myself out the window or whatever type of thing.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like, you know, it's like, oh well, I'll get us some sodas. He's thirsty, and Brittany's like, no, I'll go get him. And it's like, no, and it's like, no, I'll go get him and stuff like that, because she's kind of knows that she's just trying to get like a look at her brother or whatever, you know, type of thing. So you know, she already kind of distrusts her, you know, rightly so. And then and then the same thing happens too, where he's about to tell her, you know, about the thing, but then Breenie shows up at the last second, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, can't ever get a moment with this guy. Can't, you know, all we know is the word Chinese. You know, we don't know anything else about it. And then we find out that multiple girls at the school, tried to become friends with Breenie in order to get to her brother. So it's like, now this show's taken even a more darker turn. Oh, where yeah. it's like, okay, it's one thing he's hitting on one high school girl, but now we have like a whole like team of girls who, well, to be fair, in that case, they said that they had a crush on him, so it didn't necessarily say that he was hitting on all of that. So yeah, I guess
that's true.
That's the charitable interpretation of
yes,
of this episode, at least. I'm going to be charitable, okay? I'm doing that lately. I'm trying to be more compassionate and you know, not always think the worst of people, okay? So that's a new trend that will last like 2 days, basically. But she's like, you're part one of us now or whatever type of thing. And, you know, Zoe's like, I admitted I was trying to use you to get to your brother. And then she's like, oh, you're the first person to ever be honest with me, and I respect that, but I'm still going to hit you in the head. And then she throws like dodgeball real hard at her head or whatever.
Yeah, fine. Like, so let's talk about dodgeball for a second here.
Sure.
I know we used to play it when I was in school and stuff. And I've heard people say, oh, they don't play it anymore because kids are weak and, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
Think about this game. This game is just barbaric.
Yeah.
It always was. It's like, you know, because you always had, like, the popular or jockey type students in there just deciding that they're going to throw the ball at the nerd in the class or something, or the weakling of the class, and, you know, hit them really hard. And you weren't supposed to hit them in the head or anything, but that usually happened at least once or twice a game. And so, yeah, it was just going on in our public schools and private schools, you know? So, yeah.
Well, it was meant to create a hierarchy. It was meant to show that the strong
but
people
like,
are.
I can understand like other sports like baseball or football or other things like, you know, or soccer or volleyball, like things that they can teach you about, you know, being on a team and stuff like that. But even this, sure, you have two teams playing, but it's not like you're really necessarily trying to protect everybody else on the team. You're more just looking out for yourself.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, that's another part of the game to teach individualism, you know, not the collective, only look out for number one, you know, whoever's the strongest is in charge, and they have the right to be brutal against the people who are weaker than them. And then it teaches the weaker people that they're less than, and that they should power and fear, or at the most charitable interpretation, again, that this will toughen them up and they'll realize how the real world is. And maybe we're reading way too much. I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know.
I'm a fan of it. I mean, I was pretty good at it, but I still didn't really like it that much.
I think it was just a dangerous sport is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I was really good at catching. I didn't get hit a whole lot just because my reflexes were pretty fast, and I wasn't really great at hitting people, but I was pretty great at. So basically what happened was I would be one of the last people in the game because I caught so well, but then I would have like two different balls thrown at me at once then because of it, you know, because I was one of the last people to.
I don't even remember how I was, so.
Yeah. So, you know, so yeah, the dodgeball, blah, blah, blah. We got the bee story. You want to talk about the bee story?
Yeah.
Not a bee isn't like a bumblebee or hornet.
No,
like
there was no insects in this episode as far as I could tell.
No, that's hard to know.
All right, so the bee plot here. We've got Duncan and Jack. So Jack's like this ladies' man that everybody's after and stuff. And Duncan is, you know, like your nebbish, nerdy guy who's afraid that no woman's ever going to like him sort of thing. And he's convinced that it's Jack's shoes that is attracting women and not, you know, possibly the fact that Jack's just a confident guy, you know.
So, yeah, and he's not spazzing out and stuff like that.
Yeah. So we've got that, and then they decide he wants his shoes, so he invites Jack over to his place. So he says he can have whatever he wants, look at different things, and eventually he decides to take these opera tickets that he has because he's going because Duncan's supposed to go see the opera with his mom. So he gets one of the tickets to go see the opera with his mom. And we have a bumper on the end of the episode. I'm jumping ahead just because this is the whole B plot. Doesn't affect the regular story. We have the fact that Jack ends up going to the opera with Duncan's mom and puts his arm around her at the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we got the whole male fantasy going on. You know, even though he's not old enough to even drink, you know, type of thing. And then we also have a pre-bumper, too, where Duncan sees the girl on the train. I don't know her name. I don't know anyone's name.
I don't think it matters with her, like this hot girl. And he sees her and tries to flirt with her, but he's got junk on the bottom of his shoes. And
yeah, I mean, it almost worked at first, and then, you know, he ruined it because he's an idiot, and then because he's lactose intolerant, and apparently he has to like tell everyone that, which is like, you don't need to tell everyone like your medical conditions, like especially before, you know, you're gonna date someone, kind of supposed to reserve that shit for, kind of trick them into liking you. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's just like a fact. Like, because most people, if you're like, okay, I'm on disability, I've got Crohn's disease, I've got, you know, I'm not saying these things are bad. I'm just saying, or I mean, I'm not saying you're a bad person for having that, but like, don't, like, you shouldn't be opening without those things, is what I'm saying. Because, like,
yeah,
unfortunately, most people will reject you. I'm not saying it's a good thing they will. I'm talking about like real world stuff. Like, this is how people are, you know, like it's, you know, we could talk about how things should be and stuff like that, and that's all fine. But like, you know, someone says like, oh, you want to buy my ice cream? You're like, oh, I'd love to, but unfortunately I can't process dairy. It's like, why? Like, like kind of just roll with the punches, dude. But, you know, he can't. So, cause he's a spaz basically. And he's always got poop on his shoes, his special bowling shoes that he thinks was going to get him a girl, I guess. I don't know. And then, this episode, yeah, it was, and then do you remember what else happens now? Cause I'm kind of forgetting a little bit about Zoe's plot.
Basically, Zoe finds out that she was invited to was a, gig for Chinese Checkers, which is the name of, the band that, Montana plays for.
Yeah.
Why would you name your kid Montana? I'm sorry. Anyway, so the,
Yeah, and plus two, Chinese Checkers sounds like a really bad ska band. Like, I just could almost, like, can tell what music they would play.
Well,
like,
it's 1999, so, yeah.
Yeah.
That may have been a thing, or at least it was a feigning popularity at that point. It wasn't as popular, but it was still popular. So, yeah. We've got that, and then we've got I don't know what ends up happening then. There's another point where she's trying to talk to him. There's two points in this episode where she's trying to talk to him and noise, you know, blocks out what he's saying. The other time is they're in the diner and somebody drops dishes and she can't understand him because the dishes are making noise. And it's like, ask the guy to repeat himself. It's so simple.
I know, you got three separate occasions. And then you got blocked by Beanie or whatever her name is. yeah. And so four times, essentially, it's like, you got, you know, and you got to wonder, like, hey, maybe this is like a message from the universe that you shouldn't date a guy from college, like when you're in high school. Like, maybe, you know, this is actually a good thing, you know.
Yeah.
But whatever.
What ends up happening with them? Do they get together? I can't remember.
No, he basically tells her stuff, but then there's a bunch of noise again, and then he goes into the train, and then she's like, I have no idea, you know, what you just said, and she's like smiling, like, haha, that's funny. And it's like, how is it funny? Because you still don't know where the club is, or if it's a bar, which is a bar. You might not even be allowed in because you're like 18. You're not even old enough to drink. So, like, yeah, I mean, you're just going to listen to
it. And we don't know how, I mean, to be fair, we do not know how old Montana is. He could be 18 or 19 too. So,
well, no, I'm just assuming she was like a senior in high school. I don't know.
Not her. I'm talking about him. He could be like a freshman, I got in college or something. You know, there could be very little age difference between the two of them.
I was just assuming for some reason, like, because maybe playing like in a bar or something. I don't know. Whatever. That was just my canon or whatever.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's basically it that happens in this episode, and it is basically kind of a Seinfeld Jr., where nothing really happens.
yeah. Oh, and plus two. She called her dog Eyebrow when Bob came over, so he thinks the dog is called Eyebrow, so that's like another running joke in the episode that they thought was funny, I guess. And then and then he gives Jane a pack of like playing cards. Like, he just gives him like these like dumb little gifts from like in the cockpit, which is, you know, nice of him, but he's like treating them like they're like little kids, basically. Yeah. Like, oh, would you like some pilot wings or, you know, a pack of or a deck of playing cards? You know, like yeah, sure. Like,
yeah, it's you know how it goes.
Yeah,
he's trying to date the mom, so he's trying to win over the kids.
Good old pre-9/11 humor that was so innocent and like sickly, like sweet and dumb, and, you know, and then the world was changed forever.
Yes. So this show actually has pretty good reviews, so it probably got better as it went on. I'm assuming. So, but then there are some here, like Chris657 on September of 1999 said, possibly the worst show I have ever seen. The show is so bad I didn't even feel compelled to watch the end of one show because it was so boring, predictable, and lame. I couldn't care less about any of the characters who are completely idiotic. I can't believe there are people in the world who write that kind of garbage.
I thought you said they had good reviews.
Yeah, no, I'm saying there's good reviews, but there is some bad ones, so I found a bad one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is another bad one. It's from February 27th of 1999 from S. Fuss. Absolutely terrible. This is the worst TV show I've ever seen. It wants to be Friends and Seinfeld for teenagers, but it only comes off as derivative and unfunny. And who could believe these are teenagers anyway? That is true. These people are obviously not teenagers. In fact, Michael Rosenbaum, who plays Jack, is a whole 9.5 years, almost 10 years older than Azura Sky, who plays his twin sister. So,
yeah. Oh, he looks pretty young to me, but
he looks young. But I'm just saying.
I mean, obviously, this person hasn't watched Dr. Paradise because that's like way worse than than this. Or many other shows.
A lot of television.
A lot of the shows that we've watched are worse than this one. Yeah.
It says, here's a good one, a good review from back in 99, January 17th. And this is from somebody named Popular. Great. This show is great. The actors who play the four main characters are just marvelous. Michael Rosenbaum plays as Jack, a suave guy. His jaded twin Jane is played by Azura Sky. Selma Blair plays the cheeky Zoe. Zoe has a high school crush on the brother of a wheelchair-bound classmate. Last but not least of the main characters is Duncan, a geeky teen. What makes this show so great is that it all takes place in New York. Unlike Dawson's Creek or Saved by the Bell, Zoe, Duncan, Jack, and Jane is about growing up in New York, not about going through high school. A sure bet. That is the weirdest friend review I've ever read.
Yeah, based on the city it takes place in?
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, oh, Saved by the Bell took place in California, so...
You can't really...
Therefore, it's bad because of the city, or Dawson's Creek. If anything... I would say Dawson's Creek is a way better coming of age show. Well, obviously, because it's like a drama, but like, you know, living in like a touristy kind of like small town, like to me, that's actually way more, you know, chances of like getting to know people and stuff because there's like less people around and there's less like hustle and bustle and stuff like that. So like, if anything, this person's review is completely the opposite of what they say it is. So good job on that one. And by good job, I mean bad job. Do we have a friend who comments on almost every video that we watch? Has he made a review on this?
No, I do not see.
Okay.
But I do have one from somebody that may be a very impartial and very honest review here.
Okay.
The person's name is Zoe Bean.
Okay.
So they named themselves after the main character of the show.
Okay.
Yeah. And this was written on December 11th of 1999. I love this show. Some people might not like the wacky humor that is the best part of Zoe, Duncan, Jack, and Jane. but I, for one, have not seen a show this clever and side-splittingly funny in a long time. I introduced it to my brother, uncle, and two cousins this summer, and they fell in love with it as well. They couldn't get enough of it, and were disappointed that there were only 13 episodes. Zoe is quirky and lovable, Jane is smart and funny, Jack is the money-loving, adorable twin of Jane, and Duncan is just a cute dimwit that you can't help loving. My favorite character, though, would have to be Beanie. The coolest thing about the show is that although the actors may not be teenagers except for Azura Sky, they sure can act. These characters are just the best on TV. This is on TV, and so is this show.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what we got here. Anyways, that's a nice little, I don't know, little sample of the reviews here we have. Any final thoughts here on this show?
I can't say that I do.
Yes. I for one, thought it was the greatest show I ever saw. And the coolest thing about the show is that although the actors may not be teenagers except for Azura Sky, they sure can act. Wait.
Yeah.
That was totally off the top of my head. I didn't just reread that. I'm joking.
No. I mean, they can act, you know, outside of this show. Yes. Sure.
I've seen all of them in other projects that they were better in.
I mean, like, Michael Rosenbaum was obviously played, you know, Lex Luthor and Smallville.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, a really cool podcast now for the past few years.
Yeah. Check out his podcast, if you can, Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. It's probably the best interview podcast out there, besides WTF with Marc Maron.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. But anyways, I know that totally off topic of the episode, but Selma Blair's been dealing with a lot of health issues lately. She's got MS lately, so she's going through some things. So keep her in your thoughts and prayers, there, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to be a downer, but anywho. I mean, I liked the show for what it was. I might try to watch a couple other episodes if I can find any online. But people, something you will like is going to our Tee Public and finding a t-shirt. One that you can wear. Yeah. So the best thing about t-shirts, see these t-shirts? They have four holes in them. They've got one for your head, one for each of your arms, and one for your torso. It's this new technology that we just, you know, use specifically for our t-shirts where you can actually wear them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah, I mean, that's
on top of that, they help you to stop being naked.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
so I don't know what else you can ask for in a t-shirt besides the ability to stop you from being naked.
I mean, a cool design would be nice, you know, too, but
hey, we got those too.
Yeah.
So more power to you. Buy some, people. Check out the link in the show notes. Also check out alltoreal2.com where, you know, you can find all of our links to all of our cool places where you can hear this show. Give us a 5-star review anywhere that you can hear the show as well, if it'll let you, like Apple Podcast or Spotify or any of those cool places. Also, check us out on social media. And check out our Patreon, another way to help us. And be good to each other, people. And until next time, I love you, and Sesame loves you. And bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.